led by the shepherd. And we've been looking since Easter, we've been looking at Psalm 23 together as a church family. This is probably the most famous psalm of all. You're probably familiar with it, whether you've been a church before or you haven't. I'm sure you've heard this psalm before, whether it's in school, whether at a wedding, whether at a funeral or something like that. I'm sure you're familiar with it. And it's a psalm of a man called David, who went on to be king of Israel. But before he was king of Israel, he killed a giant called Goliath. But even before that, he was a shepherd. He was a shepherd boy. He looked after his father's sheep. And out of that experience, he pens this wonderful psalm. David was a songwriter. He was somebody who loved God. And he wrote this psalm out of his own experience. And we're going to read verse 1 to 3 together. And as we continue this series this morning, the title of this message is The Shepherd's Leading. The Shepherd's Leading. And it says this in Psalm 23, verse 1 to 3. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name." How many of you know that life doesn't often feel very straightforward, does it? Sometimes in life, we don't know which way to go. Sometimes in life, we can feel confused. We can feel stuck. We can sometimes even in life feel lost. And as I've been honest with you throughout this series, this is where I found myself, even at the beginning of this year. You know, at the start of this year in January, I shared with you as a church family the vision that God placed on my heart for us at Gateway. And I shared this vision and I felt it was a word from the Lord. As a church family, we've sensed direction, we've sensed leading, we've sensed God's guidance, we've seen growth even as a church family. And I shared a word with us. But you know, a few weeks after sharing that word with you, there's a few things that came into my life and Georgina's life that knocked me a little bit, that had a bit of an effect on me. And though that word that I was sure of that came from the Lord, that God placed on my heart for us as a church, I began to doubt it. I began to second guess and I began saying, "Lord, is this really from you? Is this word really from you? Is this where you are leading us now?" And I felt a little bit confused about the direction in which to go. Now, a few weeks ago, Georgina and I, we went up to the Assemblies of God conference, as I've shared. And we went up to this conference in Harrogate, which is for the denomination that we're a part of as a church. And it was for pastors and leaders. There was about 2,000 pastors there in Harrogate, gathering together to worship, to be fed from God's word, to grow, to learn together, to have fellowship with each other. It was a brilliant time together. But if I'm being honest with you, I went up to Harrogate and the prayer I had on my heart, not only was I feeling tired and I wanted God to restore and give me fresh strength, but I wanted to go up there and I was praying, "Lord, I need a word from you. I need some just direction about where to go in the next few weeks, next few months. I need just some guidance, Lord, just a fresh word from you." But you know, Georgina and I, we went up to the conference and I'd like to say that God gave me a word that I heard a big audible voice from heaven of God saying, "Luke, this is the way you should go," but I didn't. And on the last day, as we were on our way home from conference, I remember saying to George, I remember saying to you as we were walking the streets, I don't know if you remember, I just feel a bit disappointed. I feel a little bit frustrated. I've prayed and I've been waiting on God and I've just been wanting to hear God's voice. I wanted to know his leading, his direction, but I just haven't had anything. Just not that clear word from the Lord. And I said, there's been still no answer from the Lord. And so we came home and the day we came home, I remember sitting in the living room and just feeling a little bit frustrated. And Georgina and I were talking and we prayed together. She prayed for me and we prayed together. And then after she prayed for me in the evening and we prayed together and thanking God for the week that we've had, but praying for direction in the weeks to come as well, I opened my Bible and I just began rereading that promise, that word that God gave me back in January. You know, as I began rereading it, God began to speak again. God began to give direction again. God began to confirm things again. There was another great Christian book that I've been reading by a great pastor, a man of God who loves God and has seen God move even within his own heart and his life. And I began reading a few things in this book and it began encouraging me. And I felt the Lord begin to direct and lead me again. And I just want to even put that in there, even for you this morning, that sometimes maybe we don't need a fresh word from the Lord or a new word from the Lord. Maybe we need to go back to the last thing God has said to us and maybe live that out and trust God even with that until that promise comes to pass. But God began to whisper. And even these few weeks since we've come back from conference, God's began to nudge, God's began to stir, God's began to give direction again. Clear direction, not only for my life, not only for us, but also for us as a church family. God's been leading again. It hasn't been shouting, but God's gently been guiding us along the way. And I thank him for that. And in a few moments, I'm going to share that with you. As you see on your seats this morning, I've put Next Steps cards down. Because I know we, as a church family, we have a Vision Sunday in January. I know we have a Vision Sunday in September as well, but we're going to do a bit of a mini mid-year Vision Sunday today. I know you weren't expecting this, but I just want to share what God's just been speaking to me for us, even as a church family. But before I do that, maybe you've come here today and maybe you need direction in your life. Maybe you don't know which way to go in your life. Maybe it's to do with a job. Maybe you're not sure you need a job at this moment in time. Maybe it's about your future, your career, where you're going to go. Maybe it's about a place where you sensing God's leading you to. Are you supposed to go there or not? Maybe you need direction in your personal life this morning about a circumstance or a situation. I've got good news for you today. That when David penned these words about our good shepherd God all these years ago, it's still true for us today. That our good shepherd, Jesus, is still guiding and leading in 2025. God is still leading people today. God is still directing people today. And I believe that God's going to direct you as well. I believe that God's going to speak into your life and give you the direction that you need. And as we open up this passage together, David shows us two ways in which God, our good shepherd, leads us in our lives. How he leads us today. The first thing that David shows us is that our God, he leads me personally. God will personally lead you. He will give you direction. Just like Siri will give you direction, we have something better than Siri or something better than AI or something better than Google to direct our lives. We've got the Holy Spirit, and he is far better, and he directs and leads us in our lives. But David says here that our God, he guides me. He says he guides me, as he says there, in Psalm 23 and verse 3, he says that he guides me. The good shepherd guides me. Now, as I've said, before David was ever king of Israel, he was a shepherd. And he spent his younger years, his youth, looking after sheep. And David lived in a place called Bethlehem. He lived in the Middle East, and he would look after his father's sheep out on the hills. And David would have known how important it was to be a good shepherd. If he was going to be a good shepherd, then he would have had to known how to lead the sheep well. Because if you're a farmer, you'll discover that sheep don't know how to lead themselves. Sheep don't know how to lead themselves. Sheep don't have a good sense of direction. They don't know where to go. Sheep, they wander easily. Sheep, they get scared quickly. And oftentimes, sheep will follow whatever looks easiest. They'll follow the direction in whichever looks easiest. And what's interesting is sheep will go even into danger without thinking about it as well. Even if a path leads them to danger, if it's easy for them, they'll go that way. It doesn't matter to sheep. They're not the smartest of animals. You know, the wilderness, even in Israel, as David was writing this, it was full of cliffs. It was full of rocks. There were long stretches without water. Sheep wouldn't be able to survive if they didn't have a good shepherd who is able to guide them, a good shepherd, a shepherd who might lead them. Now, a shepherd, if he was going to be a good shepherd, had to know the good paths to lead the sheep on. A good shepherd had to know the way. And a good shepherd would often walk along the path before the sheep. A good shepherd would find out the right path first of all. The shepherd would walk that path first to see if there was any danger. He would go before the sheep, and then he would lead the sheep. It's interesting, the shepherds do this with sheep. You won't see farmers doing that. Oftentimes, farmers will walk behind the cows and behind cattle, but shepherds, they will walk in front of the sheep. They led from the front, as I said. They would find the best place, the best path for the sheep. And you know what's interesting? Then the shepherd would call the sheep. The sheep would know the shepherd's voice. and the sheep would follow the shepherd along those paths. And what David is trying to say here, he's not just writing for shepherds here. He's not giving some training for shepherds. This isn't what he's talking about here. He's showing us about who our God is. David is saying here, this is exactly what God does in our lives. The God doesn't leave us to figure out the path in which we are to walk down in our lives, but our God goes before us. Our God leads the way. Our God shows us the way. Our God calls us by name. We are the sheep. He is the shepherd. He calls us by name. He leads us and he goes before us. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 30 to 31. Even Moses said this about God as God was leading the people out of captivity in Egypt. I love what it says. It says, "The Lord your God is going ahead of you. He will fight for you, just as you saw him do in Egypt. And you saw how the Lord your God cared for you all along the way as you traveled through the wilderness, just as a father cares for his child. Now he has brought you to this place." Our God, the Good Shepherd, goes before us. He leads the way. Now you might say this morning, that's so encouraging to know that God goes before us. God's gone before you. He knows your future. I'm so glad that our God is the God of the past. Our God is the God of the present, but he's also the God of the future. He's already there. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He goes before us. He is already there. He knows what is ahead of you. But you might say this morning, that's encouraging. That's good to know. But how does God lead us practically? How can I know God's leading in my life? Maybe you've come here today and you were saying, I need God's direction. So how do we know God's direction in our lives? How does God lead us? Well, there's a few ways the Bible teaches us that God leads us within our lives. The first way that God begins to guide us and speak to us and show us direction is through his word. God speaks through his word, through the Bible. This isn't just an old book written for a past culture and context. This is the living word of God. God's breath, God still speaks through his word by his spirit today. God will guide you when you read God's word. That's why we encourage you. It's not good just reading God's word and opening up the Bible on a Sunday. We need to open up God's word every day because God wants to lead us every day. God wants to help us in our lives. He wants to help you with your work. He wants to help you with your family. He wants to help you navigate our personal challenge. God wants to help you in all things. And God begins to lead us through his word. Psalmist said in Psalm 119, 105, "Your word, Lord, is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." God will show you the way in his word. Now, it might not be a specific thing. You might not read anywhere. You were to marry this person. You're to have this job. But God will gently begin to nudge you in a direction. God will speak to you and you'll begin to sense the Holy Spirit speaking to you as you read God's word. And that's the second way God speaks to us, is through the Holy Spirit. We're a Pentecostal church. We believe that our God is three in one, that the Holy Spirit is co-equal with the Father and the Son. We believe that the Holy Spirit is a person. It is God himself. And he has come, Jesus said, when he ascended into heaven, he said, "It's better that I go so that the Holy Spirit might come." The Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us when we give our lives to Jesus. He dwells in us. But not only that, there is a second experience where we can be baptized in the Holy Spirit, where we can know the power of God, where we can hear his voice and know his leading, even within our lives. And the Bible tells us that one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He shows us the truth, which is Jesus. He shows us the way in which to go. You are not left on your own. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He's our advocate. And the more time you spend with God and you ask God to fill you with the Spirit, to know the Holy Spirit, you begin to walk in the Spirit. You begin to sense God's direction in your life. The Holy Spirit can lead you in your life. How else does God lead us? Well, he leads us through prayer. He leads us through prayer. You know, when we pray, when we bring our needs and our requests to God and our circumstances to God, I found it amazing the amount of times that when I've prayed, God begins to lead. God begins to open doors. God begins to show me the way. But the moment I don't pray, nothing happens. As I've quoted this many times, but as Nicky Gumbel says, the guy who created the Alpha Course, he once said, "When I pray, coincidences happen. When I don't pray, they don't happen. So I want to encourage you, begin praying. And you know the amazing thing? The Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, to bring all things before the Lord. You can pray about everything and anything this morning. You can pray about all things. Our God is concerned about little things. He's also concerned about big things. If you've lost your keys and you can't find them, God will help you to find them. If you've got a big problem at work, God is able to solve that. Global scale, God is able to solve them. But when we pray, God answers prayer. God brings clarity. God brings direction. God begins to speak. God begins to move when we pray. That's why we prioritize prayer even as a church family, because we don't know the way forward, but our God does. When we pray as a church and we have prayer meetings as a church, it's not just to fill some time. It's because we're saying we need God's direction. We need his leading. We want to see people come to know Jesus, but we can't do this in our strength. And so when we pray, we're saying, Lord, we depend on you. When you pray, you'll have peace. You'll have direction. You'll have clarity. And God will speak in his time, in his way. How else does God lead us? Through godly people. And I'm so grateful for the great men and women of God who have followed Jesus for years and years, who speak, have spoken into my life, people who I can turn to, and there's people in this room who you can turn to as well. They can speak. God can give them a word. God can give you, God speaks through them, through wisdom and through their experiences. And I want to encourage you, find somebody who loves God, who has a passion for God, who has walked with God for many years, who can speak and help you even in your circumstances. How else does God speak and lead? It's through peace. God speaks through peace. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says this: let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. As many of you know, I love tennis. And if you've ever watched tennis, you'll see on the side of the court, there's a man who sits on a tall chair. I don't know, or a woman who sits on a tall chair. I don't know if you've ever seen that. That person is called the umpire. And the umpire is basically the referee. To see whether a shot is in or not, they conduct the order of the play. And the Bible tells us that the peace of God is like the umpire in our hearts. God's peace will show you if something is right or it's not right. Even recently, I've had that in my life where I've been praying into something, and I on the outside, it looked great. It looked fantastic. But on the inside, I didn't have a peace about it. And I knew simply because of that, that it wasn't from the Lord. And I thought, Lord, I trust you with this, that this, something's not quite right with this. And so I'm going to obey you in this moment. And it's amazing the amount of times that God's peace can help us and lead us and get us out of circumstances when we know his peace within our lives. If you haven't got a peace about a circumstance, pray again, bring it to the Lord. And if it's still not right, then maybe that's God closing a door in a circumstance. If you do have the peace of God, then walk in that whatever door he's opening, because know that God will lead you in that. And finally, how else does God lead us? Well, it's through circumstances as well. I know I've got them the other way around there on the screen, but it's through circumstances. God will open doors for us in our lives. Sometimes this is the right door to walk through. Sometimes he'll close doors on our lives as well. But it seems so important, but I want to encourage you, don't just rely on circumstances, pray. Pray before any door opens, before any door closes, pray. And say, Lord, is this your will? Is this right? Pray before you guided by your circumstances. But sometimes circumstances, God uses them to lead us in different directions. You know, God isn't trying to make it hard for us to follow him. He's a good shepherd and he will lead you personally. And so maybe you're here today and you're facing a decision. Maybe you're unsure about what to do. Pray. Read God's word. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. Speak to some other people who trust God and who love God. Ask God for his peace to lead you in a circumstance and watch how God will guide you in that moment. I love Isaiah 30, 21. It says this. It says, your own ears, you will hear. In other words, your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, you will hear a voice that will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left. Or this is the way, walk in it. God wants to speak to you. Did you know God doesn't just speak to me just because I'm a pastor? God wants to speak to you. If you're a follower of Jesus, God speaks to you. God will speak to you. And I encourage you to open up your heart, open up his word, and allow the shepherd to lead you forward. So not only does the shepherd lead us personally, but finally, the shepherd leads us upward. The shepherd leads us upward. He says, that David says there in Psalm 23, that he guides me along right paths. He guides me along right paths. Now, when David is saying this here, he's not talking just about morally right paths, even though that's part of it. If you want a Hebrew word here, the Hebrew word is tzedek. And that means paths that are safe or paths that are trustworthy or paths of righteousness, as the translation says. Paths that are correct, paths that are trustworthy and safe. Now, back in those times when David was writing this in ancient Israel at this time, well-worn paths were, the shepherd knew how to lead his sheep, and the shepherd would lead the sheep along paths that have already been marked out, paths that have been well-walked, paths that he knew other shepherds had led them on. But you know what's interesting is the paths in Israel, you won't be able to see it from this port. Well, you might be. You can see some squiggly lines on the side of the mountains there. What's really interesting is that in Israel, paths weren't flat like our paths. I love flat paths. I love walking along them. I love running along them. But paths in Israel, these are paths in Israel. You can see all these ridges here on the side of the mountain. These weren't just ridges right there. These are pathways the shepherds have made to lead the sheep and the goats up the mountain. These are pathways that the shepherds have made. Now, these are obviously, they're not easy paths, are they? They're not straightforward paths at all. They're not easy at all. But the shepherd would often lead the sheep up the mountain, higher up the mountain as the season goes on. That's because, it's quite interesting, it's because during dry seasons, the lower pastures, the ground would dry up and all the food would shrivel away. And so the shepherd would lead the sheep around the mountain in circular motions along these paths around the mountain higher and higher, because it was towards the top of the mountain that there was a little bit more nutrients, a little bit more grass. Things were still fresher higher up the mountains. And so the shepherd knew to lead the sheep during dry seasons higher and higher up to get the good food in which they needed. It's actually a word called transhumance, which is the seasonal movement of livestock for higher elevation. Did you ever think you'd know that this morning? I know, how interesting, isn't it? Learned something new this morning. But you might say, what does that mean for you and me? It means that sometimes God leads us higher. Sometimes God leads us upwards. Sometimes in life, paths are not flat and straightforward. Sometimes they're steeper. Sometimes they're harder. Sometimes the paths are narrower. And sometimes the shepherd will lead us higher. Why? It's not because he's punishing us. It's because he's preparing us for something better. He knows there's something better higher up. There's something better, and we won't be able to get it if we're lower down. He's saying, the shepherd is saying, that there's more life, there's more fruit, there's more good things higher up. You can't stay down here. You've got to keep on moving higher up. And so the shepherd would lead the sheep higher and higher to the good things. Maybe you've come here this morning and maybe life is feeling a little bit like that. Maybe you feel like it's an uphill battle, like you're climbing higher and higher. I want to encourage you this morning, don't panic. If it's hard and you're feeling stretched at this moment in time, don't panic. The shepherd might be leading you higher into a new season. God wants to lead you into something new. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6 says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Maybe you've come here today and you're standing at a crossroads. Maybe you're facing an uphill season. Maybe you're wondering where the shepherd is. Know this, he leads you personally. The good shepherd knows you. He leads you upwards because he has a purpose, a greater purpose for your life. He knows what he's doing. It's not aimless. It's not to confuse you in any way. It's because he's not finished with you. And he's got something more within your life. He's guiding you to the right place. And as we'll see next week, it's for his name's sake. We'll look at that a little bit more next week. But as I come towards an end, as I said to you, I wanted to just share with you where God's been leading me over these last few months. As I said, I felt the Lord leading us at the start of the year. If you've been part of our church for a long time, you'll know that God's given us a church many promises. Our vision for the church is to see the promises of God come to pass. We want to see his promises for us come to pass. He's promised us that we've had a glorious past, but an even more glorious future based on Haggai 2 verse 9. That's the promise he's given us. He's promised us that those who once walked with the Lord and have wandered away, he's promised they'll come back. God has promised for full household salvation. That means all families coming to know Jesus. That's what we are believing for. But there's been another promise that God has laid on my heart that I've shared in recent years. And I believe God's called us to be a church of 1,000 people. That might seem ridiculous. You might look at this room and you think, Luke, there might not even be 60 people in this room this morning. What do you mean, 1,000 people? Is that possible? Why 1,000 people? What I want to say this morning, this isn't about numbers. It's about souls. It's about people coming to know Jesus. It's about lives being changed. It's about our community. It's about our families and our friends coming to know the Lord. And at the beginning of this year, I shared the word that God gave me from Isaiah chapter 54, verse 2 to 3, which is about stretching your tent pegs, about being a year of increase, about being bursting at the seams. I felt that God saying that this year, as a church, we're going to be bursting at the seams. You're saying, Luke, we're halfway through. Where are they all? What do you mean bursting at the seams? I believe that was a word that God laid on my heart. And I shared boldly at the start of the year in January of this year that by next year, I'm praying that God would so fill this place that we'd need to have a second service. That's what I felt God laying on my heart. Not just to have a second service so we could brag about it or be flashy or anything like that. Not to have a second service so that you're out all day and we could be religious and just go back to old ways of doing things. I'm not saying that at all. But the reason I felt God lay that on my heart is because there's so many more people that need Jesus. We want to create more room so people can encounter Jesus. That's why I'm praying that God would so fill this place that there wouldn't be enough room in the service, that we'd have to have a second service to contain all the people that God's bringing in and people whose lives he's turning around. That's what God laid on my heart, that by next year, we will have to have a second service. But I got to be honest with you. That vision in recent weeks has really been stretching me. It's been hurting a little bit. It's been a bit of a tension. I've been finding it difficult. And I've been like, Lord, is this really it? Is this going to happen? And I'm trusting God's word. I'm not trusting in my own ideas or plans. This isn't some audacious dream. I'm trusting God. I'm believing that God, if you've said it, you'll do it. So I'm going to trust him on that. But I felt stretched a little bit. Even in church life, I've got to be honest, I feel like we've been stretched a little bit. I feel like that we're in a season where we're a bit tired. Some people have been doing things, getting involved, and we're feeling a little bit stretched. But the Holy Spirit's been speaking to me over recent weeks, and he's been reminding me, Luke, you can't do this on your own. This isn't about Luke Morgan reaching 1,000 people. This is about Jesus reaching 1,000 people through his church. It's through all of us. God wants to use each and every one of us. And I'm feeling and I believe that God is calling at each and every one of us and as a church to start going higher, to go to the next level. As long as I can remember, the maximum we've ever had in sort of church has been maybe about 100 or so. We've never broken that sort of 100, 150 barrier in my time anyway. I don't remember church ever being that full. But I'm believing that God's calling us to go to that level. God's calling us to go to the next level of seeing more people. Why? Because we want people to come to know Jesus. This isn't about being a big church or a big name. This is about people coming to know Jesus, people finding Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I felt God just encouraging me to encourage you this morning that it's about all of us rising up together. All of us stepping into that. It's time for us all as a church family to go to that next level. That's why on the cards, that's why on the seats we put cards this morning. Next steps. Because maybe you're here today and God's encouraging you. It's time to get involved. It's time to take my next step. It's time to grow in my relationship. We need you. I need you. We need each other. We need to work together. You might say, how can I get involved? How can I go to that next level? I put a few things on the screen here. You know things we need? We need a kids leader. We need somebody to take over kids. And I'm praying that somebody who has the call of God in their lives, or even a few people who have a call of God to take over our children's ministry, to take it to the next level. That's what I'm praying for. I'm unashamed in saying we need youth leaders. people who are called specifically by God to, who have a heart for young people, to raise up that generation, to take them on and to take them into all that God has for them. We need volunteers in our kids' ministry. If we're going to have two services, we need more volunteers. If we're going to see a youth group grow, we need more volunteers on a Friday night. If you're able to, you might say, Luke, I'm too old. I don't know what's going on. Have an open heart and watch how God will use you. If you've got breath in your lungs, God can use you. What else do we need? We need more small group leaders. I'm praying that we'll grow our small groups and we get people who can help and have a heart to disciple other people. We need more helpers in Food Bank to reach out to our community. We need more people with a heart with evangelism, who have a heart to reach out for Jesus, to make Jesus known, just in other places who've got a specific call on their lives. We need help even with worship. I know with the worship team, if we're going to have two services, we need another worship team who can help and lead that service. If you've got a gift in that way, we'd love to help you with that. We need more welcome people on the welcome door because we want people to feel like they're part of home here. We want people to feel like they're being welcomed home. We need people on the coffee team to help serve on the coffee, to make people coffees and teas, who show the love of Jesus, who serve with Jesus. We need more people preaching, leading in church on Sundays. And maybe that's maybe you feel a bit frightened about that, but I'm praying God will raise up people, even in this room this morning, to help with that, to share God's word and step into the call of God for your life. Church isn't something you attend. You are the church, you're the body of Christ. And I believe God's calling us to step into our calling. It's time to rise, time to serve, time to lead. Now you might say, how can I get involved? Well, we've got our next steps and we want to help you and encourage you. There are some requirements for serving and getting involved. You know, we don't just let anybody or anyone do things. You know, we believe there is an order the Bible shows us. There are requirements, we believe, for people getting involved and serving and getting to know the Lord. We don't want to be careless with people. It's because it's so important we reach people and we love people. That's why we have these requirements. It's so that we can give God's best and honor God and honor people as well. But we as a church, we're all out for equipping, training, and helping people to step into that next step. So you might say this morning, how can I respond? Fill out the next step card. I encourage you to do that. What's your next step this morning? Where's God leading you this morning? Maybe it's to give your heart to Jesus for the first time or recommit your life to him. We have a discipleship class for you and we'd love to walk you through that. Maybe you're here this morning and you want to get baptized. Maybe now's the time. Stop waiting around. Maybe God's telling you to get baptized. Maybe it's to become a partner in the church and to commit to a church. Maybe this is God's way of saying, this is it. Let's get involved. Let's be a part. Maybe it's to serve and volunteer in a ministry within the life of a church on Sundays or midweek. We need you. And if we're going to grow, we definitely need you. We need more people so that we can minister to people. Maybe it's a call to leadership. Maybe God's calling you this morning. Maybe you're not quite sure where or what, but we want to encourage you and we want to train you and we want to help you. I want to encourage you this morning. Fill out one of those next steps cards. Put it in the black box. And we will get in touch with you and we want to equip you and walk with you on this journey. Our good shepherd is leading us. In your personal life, he's leading you. He's gone before you. He'll speak to you and he'll lead you. He might be stretching you, but it's because he's got something great that he wants you to go higher. And even for us as a church, God is calling us. It's time to go to the next level. Let's get ready for the harvest that God's about to bring in. Let's get ready for all the people that are going to come. Let's get ready and say, Lord, here I am. Send me, Lord, for your glory and for your honor. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Shall we?